Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast where you will find the perfect blend of food fun and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive and I get to eat it. If you missed it, be sure you catch last week's episode with chef educator Suzanne Greer. She's a firecracker and she's a great human being. Go back and listen. All right, I'm into quality made smoked fish dips and spreads. I know you are too. Check out our friends over at Crab Island Seafood Company. One of my favorites is the Crab Rangoon. It's delicious. Visit them at crabislandseafooddip.com. So, interesting news. Walk and Talk is going to be on site at the University of Tennessee in 2 weeks to cover an episode of Kitchen Storage Makeover. This is an amazing contest created by Metro Storage and Distribution Systems. Walk and Talk's own Pooch Rivera and Glenn Haggerty of Pious Media will be capturing the entire adventure along the way. It's a road trip, baby, so it's going to be fun. Learn how to become a contestant on IG at Metro Food Service. Check them out. All right, so who's an entrepreneur? I am. Well, today we meet a fellow who decided to open up a food truck park. So he and his lovely wife could improve their culinary options in their area, and that area needs it. So this is a really great thing. These are my kind of people right there, because one day they will feed me. It's true. That's going to be David Chan, owner of Brandon Food Truck Park. He is on deck. Stand by for that. Okay. Listen here. Before we get started, I want to be the first on-air personality to congratulate our man, chef, podcast co-host, and now author, Jeffrey Schlissel. Congrats.
Thank you.
Jefferson.
It's really weird to hear that, author, right?
Yeah.
You know? But thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I know that this is a big moment for you. So my intention is to actually just suck up all the attention. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and take a minute? Maybe 30 seconds is per what John says. Take a few seconds here to explain what the book is and where people can find it.
The book is a hybrid, really. It's a cookbook, self-help, and it was pretty much started, my friend Amelia Levon said, why don't you do a cookbook on mental health? And I didn't want to come out the gate doing something that's straight mental health. I mean, obviously, being a chef, you want to do something different. But I think one of the things in the restaurant industry that we have and we need more of is people that know that it's okay to not to be okay. And mental health is a big thing with me. In 2018, I really became an advocate and did a lot of presentations for the American Culinary Federation, CaterSource, and different other entities that I've been talking about mental health. And it's just my journey about food addiction. And I wanted to do something that showcased things a little bit differently. And the point of the book or the message of the book is being conveyed in the right way. And I love that because that's the thing that you want to do when you develop a book is you want to have that message out there if it is about a message.
So I have the book. I bought it. And apparently I bought it at a higher price. Thanks, Amazon. But that's fine. For you, man.
I appreciate that.
For you, I spend the extra.
I'm not making that much scuttle from it, trust
you
me.
You will, though. This is going to be a big deal for you. I mean, wait, where are you ranked right now?
19th in self-help, 1,006 in cookbooks, which is there's 100,000. And then there's 32.4 million books on Amazon's shopping cart or platform. That's the word I want to look for. And I'm ranked 25,000, and we just launched Friday.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I have it's sitting on my kitchen table, and I intend to dive into this thing. I just got it like a day and a half ago, so I need to, carve out the time. But I understand. I mean, you kind of kept it quiet for a long time as this thing was getting put together. Apparently, John and I are scattered throughout the book.
There's a lot of people that have touched my life in a way that I wanted to showcase how they helped me through my journey or to turn me into the person I am today. In particular was Cleve Brown, who is the manager to Kool & the Gang. And if you look through the book and you see Kool and it's spelled K-O-O-L, I'm showing props because he had such an influence on my growing up in my 20s.
It's almost like a celebration.
See what you did there.
Yes.
That was a dad joke. Yeah, totally 100%. Was. Cleve's going to love that.
Oh, yeah, it's for you, Cleve.
But what's funny is I've gotten a lot of people that have reached out to me and said, listen, what I know from his book is it's okay not to be okay. And you're never alone and you can reach out anytime. And it's one of those beautiful things. Tina Davis, I got to give her a shout out. She inboxed me. She's like, I'm eating dinner and I'm reading your book. And I thought I stained it with some steak juice. I did some things there when I wanted to be different. I wanted to showcase things differently. I didn't want to have stagnant white paper, black writing on it, especially with John's beautiful photography. So we did a little bit of like water stains or coffee stains or juice, whatever it is. And they're scattered throughout the whole recipes.
Well, I don't know if anybody would understand what a water stain is, but that's totally, totally fine.
People from New York understand.
What's the name of the book?
It's called Craveable Obsessed Journals of a Food Addicted Chef. It's on Amazon. It's actually doing so well that Amazon's algorithm, as you mentioned, dropped it down 23%. It's like $38 now.
Don't say that. Now people aren't going to go out and buy it. He's doing good enough.
No. It's not good enough. It's about the message. It's not about the money. It's about the message.
If it helps one person.
Exactly. Just one life. That's what it's all about for me.
You know what? People, don't buy it. No, I'm kidding. Go out there, get this book, check it out. It's on Amazon. Because it's you, dude, I'll put the link in the description.
I appreciate that.
And it'll be, are we done with this?
Yeah, I think so.
Can we move on?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm actually really thrilled for you, dude.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. When we do our cookbook, I might mention you. All right. All right. So, David Chan, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
All right, man. All right. So, check this out. Let me just set this up. For the last year or so, I drive down Lithia Pinecrest. This is in, Lithia, Florida, near Riverview, off of, kind of outskirts of Tampa. And there's a certain part of this, once you get past a certain area, there's like no more life for a while, right? And one day I'm driving and I notice a food truck. I mean, we're in the food industry here, and I saw a food truck, like a lonely food truck. And I said to myself, boy, I wonder what that guy's doing there. He must own the property. That food truck must just live there, right? Didn't think anything about it. Over the course of months, weeks and months, I started seeing more food trucks, and then I saw string lights. And then I just said, wow, actually there's some action happening there. And around that same time, I saw on Instagram, what popped up is you know, Brandon Food Trucks, all of a sudden, Food Truck Park. And all of a sudden, I made I had this epiphany. You know, it exploded in my mind. I said, I bet you that's the same. It's got to be the same place. So anyway, David, I reached out to you. We've been communicating. And it is, in fact, you are he with... with the truck park. And I think that's really awesome. So congratulations on that venture. And this episode with you, we are going to go full entrepreneur status with you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you again for inviting me. I'm probably one of those rare people you would invite that actually doesn't even know how to cook. I can't call myself a chef. My wife does most of the cooking at home. But what we created in our vision, I think it would definitely have a great impact to entrepreneurs out there, new startups, food trucks, because there's a lot of struggles that they have when they're mobile, when they're traveling around, when they're finding water, power, and they have to stay compliant at the same time.
Well, your value proposition when you first started this off was very interesting. As we had a conversation on the phone yesterday, you explained that you didn't charge.
Yes, that is correct.
Talk a little bit about why.
When we first invested into this property, we thought that if we were able to concentrate food trucks in one location to become a food court, you know, not only myself and my family can enjoy it, the community can enjoy it as well. And that also gives a leg up to new trucks or any trucks that are out there trying to, you know, make a living. So when I started this, I was thinking, all right, let's just not charge anything to park with us and see how that works out. And even then, still, like you mentioned, when you drive down Lithia, you may have saw one truck, two trucks, three trucks, and maybe a week later, they'll never open. They usually close. There'll be more trucks later, and then they'll go. It's just the nature of food trucks. They're mobile, right? So to kind of retain them in one location and have them build foot traffic it's a struggle. It's a balance that has to be, it takes time in order to build that food traffic.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
So what do you do to generate not just traffic, but an experience? What do you do to bring people in on a regular basis in order to have the truck owners, you know, keep the doors open longer, you know, make themselves more available, whatnot?
When you're building a park like this, it's a very unique business. The way to kind of capture and motivate trucks to stay and retain with us would take you to sell your vision to them. You would tell them about what the plans are, if there's a time frame, how we're going to achieve it. And, you know, some trucks do understand and see the vision there and believe it, and they would actually commit to it. So some of these trucks have been with us for longer than half a year. And some of those, during that time, there wasn't much trucks at all. So some would stay, some would go. But over time, we'll collect a good amount of them.
Tacos. That's your favorite. That's your favorite truck.
It's one of my favorite trucks, and the barbecue
and
the ribs.
And yes. The barbecue ribs.
Yes.
Okay. So they're there. Are they kind of like staples or anchors in that park right now?
More or less, yes.
Okay. Is there, I'm going to get to something here. Is there a pizza truck?
There is.
Now, wait a minute. We spoke on the phone And not very many people that I have conversations with can understand or appreciate Spumoni Gardens, the LNB. We need to find, we must.
You see that face?
I didn't, but we must find, as I'm looking this way, we've got to find how to get that kind of pie, or I should say squares, here, man. What do we do? Do you know
we,
a guy?
We could use the house. Yeah, we could use the house to do that. I mean, there is a vacant house there, right? There is a property on the lot there, and we can do that. But there is one challenge, though, which I have looked into it. I think the
don't
water
tell me about
down
the water.
Here.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do it.
There is going to have to. There's definitely a difference in the water. I think that may change. Just
here's why I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
I don't. There's a place not far from where I'm at. So I'm a little bit south, further south of you, where that property is. And of course, I can't think of the name right now. But there's a pizzeria not far from me. The guy's from, he's actually from Brooklyn, and he does a fantastic job. Now, it's not like, it isn't, it's no L&B, but it's really good. There's only one L&B.
It's only one.
All right? And I don't think the water has anything to do with how they're going to put out that product. With that said, we need to find a suitable alternative to Spumoni Gardens.
Yeah, but the other problem too is, here's the thing, like for me as a chef, I travel to New York, and that's where I want to go to get pizza, is that place. But if I'm here in Florida, I want to go to a place that's going to have a really good pizza. So let it be the one. And there, to your point about water, there are some pastry chefs that will be listening and be like, water has no effect. It's actually the flour. It's the sauce, gravy, cheese. Like, it's all those different accoutrements that are going along with it. Water to me is not that, it's irrelevant. Like,
well, by the way you say it, we know you don't care about
it's
you bastardize it.
But Brooklyn Water bagels, they were all, it's going to be just like the, no, it's,
you know what's funny about that, real quick side note, you know, being families from up there, grew up there also for a little bit, and how, oh yeah, the water's so good, you drink it, but you know how old the pipes are there? You know what I'm saying?
It's super old. They're like 100 years old.
Older than that.
More than that, yeah.
And do you know what kind of, how disgusting that's got to really be?
I would agree. But
right? Even though it's when you drink it, it's good. But really, is it? I don't know.
I mean, after going through those pipes, and most of the houses there are older than probably all of us combined here, but
he's pretty old. He's pretty,
I was waiting for it.
But going back, that there's actually a machine online. If you go on Google, there's a machine online that actually says that it does the same type of filtering New York does. So you're actually able to buy that machine and create New York water. Now, again, yes, it's probably, that's just.
Does it come with a bridge? Does it come with a bridge? Is it the Brooklyn Bridge? They sell you the Brooklyn Bridge too, right?
Well, no, I want to know, does it have the contaminants that are in the water too?
I would absolutely.
We are talking about New York. It's not the cleanest place.
It comes with. Listen. It's a different place today than it once was.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
All right, so let's get back to the park. And by the way, we're not going to forget about the empty house and all the cool stuff that there are many, many potentials. Because I don't know if you noticed or knew, but we're doing cooking events. So part of our success, I feel, is our success is the fact that we don't just get behind a mic and talk and, you know, maybe say something funny once in a while or whatever. It's actually we're doing. So we are doing dinner collabs with, you know, high-end chefs and high-end restaurants. And you know, we're highlighting farms and we're doing all these things and we're connecting brands and buyers. We're doing a lot of stuff. So when you're talking about having a house to throw a party, per se, yeah, man, there's a ton that we can do. But let's talk challenges for a second. Yeah. How rough is it to keep the park full? Like, how are you finding actual trucks?
Yeah. So aside from offering zero fees to park with us, zero commitment, on top of that, again, going back to sharing the vision and doing more development into the park, what was actually a turning point was when we started adding electricity, water, potable water, wastewater, commercial waste bins, restrooms, you know, everything that, that needs, they need to be compliant. That kind of started helping with them to kind of work with us and grow with us. So that kind of kept retainership. But again, the, still the challenge of having them continue to operate at the schedule that they originally told me they would.
I love that, that one.
That becomes difficult, right? After a couple of weeks, again, the nature of trucks, they're mobile. They can come and go if they wish. So it was a challenge. But I think the main ingredient in order to build a food truck park, and this is to all other food truck parks that has reached out to me, that spoke to me, I told them the same thing because we fought the same struggles, that it just takes time, commitment, and don't give up and keep going. I'm not saying that we're successful in any, I mean, from the park, from what I envision it to be, is still a long way to go. There's still a lot more work to do.
I mean, they have these mobile axe throwing, the axe throwing, yes, stuff like between that or
carnival things.
Yeah, exactly.
They also have mobile bar units that can be there too. Sure. So there's a bunch that you can definitely do.
I had yesterday's funny, a mobile cell phone repair trailer reached out yesterday and asked the park, and I'm like, I don't think that kind of falls into food, but you know, this is just a lot of things.
But if it brings traffic, it brings traffic.
Haircut, you know, salons, mobile, it's in the van.
So that I can tell you with assurance would be phenomenal. because like the place that I go to,
yeah,
I've been in Tampa now, Tampa area for about 8 years, something like that. And I usually keep my barber for decades. That's just how
yes,
I get down.
Yes.
The place that my barber's at, the AC is always out. Something happens. I want a towel, you know, hot towel thing. I'm out of towel. Like, what are you doing? But he's great. I wish that cat had another place to kind of just go and do his deal. That would be phenomenal. Because I feel like that's not just unique to my shop. I feel like that's probably everywhere.
No, it's actually that they actually travel in a van, and when you sit down, there's a seat with all everything they need, and it looks like a barber.
I'm sorry. I have this image of dogs, the groomer, you know what I'm talking about? And you're up on the table.
Can I get a bath, too? Can I get a bath while I'm there? They put me in a... No?
Okay. Oh, my God. I would pay good money to see that if that was his.
But that's not the weirdest one. The weirdest one was actually a mobile gym that came to us. They had gym equipment, and it was a bus. It was a large bus with gym equipment. Then, you know, during discussion with this vendor, I was like, well, you know, it's outside's like 110 degrees, right? And you have all this gym equipment that you kind of just expose out. You can actually bend out forward with all these stuff that you could have your subscribers work exercise with. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to be something. And then you put them next to food?
Well, it would have to be next to like the Vitamix.
No, you know what it's like? That's like being at your house and having a workout, and then the refrigerator's right there. So now you have the bus has got the workout, and the refrigerator's the food truck.
How do you think? You wouldn't go in near that place. You would just
look at it. You look at it. That's a cool bus. Let me go get a hot dog.
Wait a minute. Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I work out 6-7 hours a day, 7 days a week, but you wouldn't tell because you know what? I go straight to the fridge and eat 6-7 hot dogs. That's what it's doing.
Oh, at least he admitted it.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's not true. I don't do that.
I know you don't.
8-9 hot dogs. I really eat them a lot.
Yeah, and I know you don't work out 6-7 hours a day.
No, I don't. I don't do that.
Especially when you're getting up at 3:30 in the morning to post.
Actually, since I've had children, I haven't seen a gym. I don't want to even do push-ups.
You're not the only one. I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm. Side note, daughter's 9, right? So 9 years ago or 8.5 years ago, no, 9.5 years ago, excuse me, I was doing Muay Thai. You know, I was active. I was doing stuff. It was fun. And then
So you're blaming your kid on that. That's really messed up, bro.
I love her so much. And him, both of them. I love them. But yeah, no, when it comes to like, you know, extracurricular stuff or your own self, like just toilet bowl.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
But how did you come up with the idea and you said, hey, I'm going to do a food truck park?
Food truck park, yeah. Me and my wife, before we had kids, would go above and beyond to travel to different places to eat the food that we want, you know, for what we were craving for that day, right? And we would do that. And we miss those days where food variety was, you know, is just abundant. So I was like, you know what? Let's try this and see. And to be honest, my mother told me I'm crazy. Right? She's like, what are you doing? Just build a house on it and do something else with it, right? Or lease it out to somebody else. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to try to park food trucks and see what happens. And it was wooded there too. So I had to cut down all the trees. There's a ton of trees. And after you cut all the trees, then there's all this mulch on the floor that you have to wait and it starts rotting. And there's just a ton of things that had to be kind of considered and worked out. But, you know, over time, one of the things that, you know, that it's valuable to me is, other than the experience, it's meeting these people and understanding their struggle. Because all of them have unique struggles, some more or less similar, but all of them have different struggles. And when talking to these people, you learn a lot. And it gives me satisfaction to be able to help them and provide a platform for them to exercise their culinary skills and whatnot. So there's a lot of value to it, which I didn't expect.
When you're actually having conversation and learning other people's struggles, it's in concert with your own struggle with the park, right?
Yes. Yes. They might not know, but it gives me kind of some, I guess, it makes me feel a little better knowing that they also have the same struggle. Right.
It's validation.
More or less, it is.
Yeah, it's validation.
Because building the park, they understand it's difficult. One of the main things that I didn't want to do was build the park on their expense. We'll have to do it on both our expense and make it fair. And I got a number of trucks that have came over to me from other parks, and which has told me that, you know, the method I'm doing it or the philosophy I'm applying to this, they feel is, you know, a lot more sustainable than, you know, maybe elsewhere. I can't speak for any other places, but, you know, they think that something like this is worth their time. And, you know, to some extent, we all walk the same ground. We breathe the same air, right? We're going to have the same struggles, more or less. If they can understand that, you know, I need time to implement certain new developments at the park, they, you know, I would also understand that they can't operate 7 days a week because they're only operating themselves, right? So there has to be a middle ground between us. So it's always a constant balance between that. And, but through that, we build a relationship, a trust. And I think I learn a lot from that. And that also gives me satisfaction because I'm out there actually doing something much more impactful than my 9-to-5 job, which I still do. My IT, I hope my boss doesn't listen to this, but, but you know, I'm an IT project manager. Yeah, you know, it's boring stuff and it's constant chasing, you know, resources to do things. But yeah.
I have never met an IT person that didn't have something happening on the periphery.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Yeah, I think that just because they're in IT, it kind of gives them a bit more freedom with maybe working from home or hybrid some form of that, and they probably have a bit more time to just figure something out. But to do something like this, you kind of just got to dive in and commit yourself. I mean, at first, I probably thought about giving up on the park at least 2 to 3 times. And I would probably feel, I probably think that would be the same thing for any entrepreneurs out there.
Oh, no, trust us.
Yeah. Right? Like over time, you just like, where is that validation? Where is that validation point where like you should keep still moving and going forward? Like you committed all this time, money, resource, everything. And, you know, when is this ever going to work? Right. So I think we constantly keep asking that question for at least startups or entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah. We do that every day.
Every day we do. I look at you and I go, why? Why?
Why? Yeah.
Right now, how many trucks do you have in the lineup?
I have 11 trucks.
Okay. All right. And if you don't know this, it's okay. Like nobody's judging. We're all judging. Do you know kind of in and about what their concepts are?
Concepts, meaning what they serve, right?
Yeah. So you got tacos.
Yeah, we got tacos. We got barbecue. We got pupusarias trucks. I actually don't know what it's
pupusa.
Pupusa?
Pupusa.
Yeah, pupusa.
So that's basically like an arepa and it's stuffed. It's cornmeal.
Okay.
Yeah. It's actually an Ecuadorian, El Salvadorian kind of street food. But a buddy of mine used to do that at Grandview Public Market.
We have some chefs from Hard Rock that also created some special unique dishes that I don't know if it's a specific cuisine, but they have some food that they also provide there. There's also vegan option. There's pizza, as we mentioned earlier, and a lemonade truck, coffee truck, a Philly cheesesteak truck. We just signed up a hibachi truck.
Hmm.
And we also got soul food coming along as well, ice cream. And there's actually a couple of trucks that park with us that don't operate, but they always pull in and out for events. Okay, and they would use the service there. Again, most important thing for them is to be compliant. So wastewater and, you know, getting potable water and all that.
What kind of events could be done there? Did you have anything in mind?
We actually have an event this Saturday and where we invited a bunch of non-food tent vendors that are setting up tents, you know, selling little crafty stuff. And then we also got a bounce house. I think there's also a DJ and, you know, for music. And we're just running a little event just to see how it goes. This is probably our first one this year. And then, but I mean, kind of limitless if you think about it on type of events we could do.
Yeah, I'm curious what the property. So I've never stopped. I see it, you know, because it's usually I'm heading to a specific destination and there's no deviating off of that.
Correct.
When I'm going down that road. But I do want to go and check it out just to kind of get the layout of it. Because I know you said you've done a lot of work there.
Yes.
You know, and I figured as soon as I saw the string lights, I was like, oh, they're doing something fun. Like, that's going to be a fun place.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're trying. I just recently got like 5 truckloads of dirt and crushed asphalt, just trying to pave more of the roads. Because as we're getting more traffic, the roads are just, you know, getting worse. So just did that. There's a lot more development to do. But if you do stop by, you know, if there isn't enough parking on site, there is a lot of parking across the street where there's about 30 medical offices. And I know the property manager there, which we have kind of worked out. So most of the time, if we do run events, is on the weekends. There's no one parking in there.
Did you have any challenges with last week with the weather?
Oh, yeah. So one of the things that I do pride myself in hiring a very great manager who is also an electrician. His name's Rob and his wife Jen, who helps maintain the park. The power was fine. Every truck had power. So remember, these trucks, when they park overnight, if they lose power, all their goods can be gone. Okay. So that's a major thing. So one of the things we tell all the trucks is to buy this little monitor that they could connect to Wi-Fi. If power goes out, there's an alert that goes out there, right? So that's one of the things that, you know, but other than that, because of some low spots in the park, I had to get extra dirt in the crushed asphalt just to cover so we can get those, the floods, you know, the little puddles of water to kind of just mitigate that.
I mean, you, Jeff, you pointed at him when he was talking about the Wi-Fi and the thing.
Oh, IT. Right? I mean, of course, this guy would know.
None of that dawned on me. You can turn that whole thing into something very tech-driven.
Absolutely. There is so many things you can do.
This up here started like he could do movie nights, like, you know, drive-in movie. And then you have all the concessions there. There's different themes you can do there. My head was, it's already going. My question to you, is there a truck you're missing? Because you said that you started this because you wanted different out. You wanted different food venues. Is there one out there that you were like, I wish I had that truck?
Yes, I would. Some of the trucks would be Asian trucks that would serve some Asian food. We cover most of the ones out there, but you know, there are some trucks specific, maybe like dessert trucks, maybe more desserts. There has been a lot of tent vendors that has been reaching out, and they would bake bread. Some of them would do, you know, crab rangoon and a number of things that you know, they would reach out. But trying to put them out, you know, providing space for tent vendors, the way we design the park is more catered to food trucks. So the rent rate right now that we're trying to, you know, that we have in design is kind of encapsulates all the services there that the tent may not use, the tent vendors may not use. So, you know, it was kind of difficult. And plus, tent vendors also need licensing. So a lot of them do decide to just operate during the Saturdays and Sundays. So I know there's a demand. I think one day we're going to just cut out a section just for tents and see how that works out. But there's a number of things that we can do on different events. And
do you vet them coming on? Like you?
I try as much as I can.
If you need somebody, he's a professional taster. I'm pointing at the Carl. Well,
I am, yeah. In fact. Well,
what I do is that any truck that do park with us, I do tell them that, listen, we gotta walk the park together. Let's talk there. And just make sure that, you know, we have what we're able to provide, what you need to be successful here.
Are they required to be? So let's just say, you know, most food eateries or whatever, they're going to be busy Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, something like that. Are they required to be open and there on those days?
Yes. When I do speak with them and I tell them that if you're going to park with us, it's mandatory that you have to be operating at least 3 to 4 days a week. Now, as you can imagine, as I mentioned earlier, you know, juggling between gaining momentum with foot traffic and making sure the trucks, you know, find it worth it to stay open longer has been a big challenge, right? So you could just imagine, right, if you're fighting that and then I'm trying to mandate that you operate at this certain, you know, schedule.
It's a dance.
It's a dance and has to be that way for quite some time until they notice that, hey, wow, there's a number of other trucks that believe in this place. Then they will actually commit themselves a bit more. But then over time, some of these trucks realize that their consistency is actually paying off, like the taco truck, like a couple of other trucks, that they notice that consistency was paying off because the customers could rely on them being there. That's a big thing. So when they started seeing that, they're like, oh, okay. Then they started committing to open more hours and they won't be leaving earlier or shutting down earlier or, you know, whatever the reason is.
Are you marketing at the same time? Like that part, yes, of that common area maintenance, obviously the CAM, you're marketing. How is that going? Is that a selling point too for the trucks?
Yes. I would tell them that the park itself would do advertisements on social media platforms. I recently bought a giant inflatable gorilla that has our logo on its chest. It's 26 feet tall. Bought that from...
I have Jeffrey.
I was waiting.
We can inflate him at the
park. I was going to go after you and I was waiting. I'm like, nah, I'm going to let him have this one.
I had this crazy idea of putting that inflatable on top of that roof on the house there and just have it stand up. But
Do you get challenges from people who live? I gotta believe that
that's an actual absolute yes. He has challenges.
He didn't even let me finish the question.
He already answered it. He's still laughing.
You could say that I do have personal contacts from the code enforcement health department. I have their numbers. They have mine as well. Not because I know them personally, right?
Yet.
No. He does know them personally because people probably are calling, complaining.
There has been a couple of complaints. One of the things was one of the trucks, operators, his birthday, and he asked me, David, can I run a little event here just to have family, friends, and just blast the music and whatnot? And unfortunately, I wasn't there to monitor the whole thing. The event went from afternoon till late night, and the music was blasting at 9:30, 10 p.m. And they were all drunk. And obviously, that upset some of the neighbors, neighbors called me directly to first. So I was like, okay, let me go there. And I took care of it. And I just told them that, listen, going forward, you can't be doing this anymore. And later on, I think the next day the truck left and never came back.
Well, number one, I can appreciate that. But number two, why wasn't I invited?
That was not a party if we're not there.
You know what I'm saying? That sounds amazing.
I'm just sorry it's not a party.
But I can also appreciate the whole get off of my lawn sort of vibe. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. At this point, there's actually a more recent report was like, how is this possible? What kind of business is this? How are they able to operate and just put food trucks onto a vacant lot and just let them operate like that? Why is that legal? So that was one of a complaint from a local, I guess, citizen there. And I mean, we have the zoning.
It's zoned for it.
It's zoned for it. We have the zoning and the code enforcement agent, which I know, which took this complaint. I know him personally, and he tried to explain to the person that, you know, the owner went through very difficult rezoning to be legal to do what he's doing. So then he told me, kind of just make sure everything is in compliance.
You know, change does things to people. People don't like change. So obviously this person that complained probably was like, I don't want this, so let me complain about it.
Yeah, but isn't that, I don't know if this is a thing or not, but like I would say, all right, you know what, person X, come on in. I'd work something out with the vendors, take care of them, make them feel part of the family or something like that, and make friends with them.
Dude, it's like when you first move into a house and you're going to throw a house party, you're going to ask and invite all the neighbors around. Neighbors,
yeah. I'm not inviting any neighbors.
Well, nobody likes you.
Yeah, no, that's not true. Yeah, it's true. Damn it.
Yeah, there's going to be people that may not feel that that's the right thing to do. I even had someone that, maybe was an animal activist who actually reached out to me on Facebook and mentioned that, you guys are slaughtering animals.
Do you know what you need to do? What you have to do is share with them with the one of the videos where they're getting a little piglet and they're giving it the massage and they're putting a little like the chapstick on the nose and brushing it, and then boom, it's right from the grill. You know what I mean? Send that to them. That's what you should do.
Or you can send me there. I'll take care of that. I'll just hold up my arms with it. I'm like, these are vegans.
What we need to do is get a butchering truck out there. That's what we need to do.
Literally killing the animal.
Yeah, right? Like literally.
I would not.
Not to.
I would butcher, but I would not put down.
Yeah, not put down, yeah. but to break down. What we're talking about.
Yeah. You want a veal? You want a veal chop? No problem. I got one.
Come here. Want a ribeye? Come here. You know.
How many pounds of beef you want?
Exactly. But now we're talking.
Yeah.
And if we really want to shake up the neighborhood, that's what we do.
I just want to point something out to both of you. You started the podcast and the media so that you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
He bought property so he can eat.
Yeah. We're very much the same.
Yes.
Good observation.
Yeah. I was just making them like, you thought of this and he thought of that.
You know, your intelligence goes beyond where I think that you really can expand to.
I'm just trying. He's pointing to the book.
You're an author.
Yeah, anybody can write a book.
No, I mean, your name is Arthur. That's what I mean. All right, David, last thing, advice. Food people, non-food people, IT people, entrepreneurial kind of a guidance or advice. What say you?
There is a saying that I've heard, and more or less over time, I've really understood it very well. And it goes this way. Today is difficult. Tomorrow will be worse. The day after, the sun will come out. But most people die tomorrow evening. And if, you know, you kind of just, you know, just dwell on that a little bit, it kind of sums up, you know, entrepreneurship. When you don't give up and you commit yourself and you keep going and you just don't stop. And yeah, there may be people that may tell you otherwise, listen, it might not just work. You know, just if you could just ignore all the noise and stay committed, you know, and you're able to prevail, in due time, things will work out most of the time. Okay. Most of the time, I believe, right? That's just my philosophy. And again, it took a year and a half and, you know, and a lot of mistakes, you know, a lot of feedbacks from everybody and a lot of learning and experience. If I gave up, that would have been it. All these trucks would have actually no place really to kind of go and say, all right, you know what? I want to start this journey. And, you know, but doing this, it's going to take, you know, it's going to be very difficult with trying to go out there and going to different events and have no place to really, you know, go back to and have all these services already provided. So, you know, one of the things is in life is just if you don't give up, I think, you know, not only that it'll make a huge impact to yourself, but to everybody else around you.
So I agree with that 100% because we're living the same. We're living in that same fabric. I will tell you this. There's a meme or a video on social media where it has, this is entrepreneurship. And it's this little kid with a Nerf gun and he shoots himself in the groin and he starts crying. That is entrepreneurship.
Right.
It's self-inflicted pain. And yet you continue to do it. Anna, we're wrapping up. How do people find you?
Oh, find us on Facebook, Brandon Food Truck Park, Instagram, Brandon Food Truck Park, on our website, brandonfoodtruckpark.com. You can also find us there. And it's actually, I believe there's a number there which you can call or send an email to.
Excellent. David, your lovely wife, Christina. Kristen? Jefferson, congratulations.
Thank you
for coming. Your book, man. I can't wait to put it in the garbage. John, I love you, baby. Everybody did a great job. I can't wait to read it, dude. Congratulations again. It.
Thank you.
All right. We are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple.
develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.